pray and everything.
I'm your host, Mason Santiago. I'm here with my co-host, Jay Reeves, and we want to welcome a special iconic dance music icon, Robin S. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Definitely, it's our pleasure. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, you know, considering everything that's going on, I am doing well. I'm blessed. I'm alive. You know, I'm staying put, and I'm doing okay.
So it told me, how are you navigating through all this stuff that's going on, the COVID-19, the pandemic, and the protesting, everything? How's that affecting you and your family? How are you guys holding up?
Well, my family, we're doing okay. You know, every once in a while I have to, how do they say, I have to tune out. I have to log off. I have to, you know, of social media, because it's so much and it becomes very overwhelming. And at one point I just found myself being getting very hostile, you know, toward the things that are going on, especially with the Black Lives Matter and stuff. And I had to tap out. That's the word. I had to tap out of everything. No news, no TV, no, just start praying and just, you know, asking God to just revive me and revive my soul. And I'm human, so I'm allowed to get that way, but I never wanted to act on the way I was feeling. So I just had to really tap out, you know, and I didn't want to take it out on anyone, you know. So I really just had to tap out of social media for a while and not watch TV. How am I dealing with, you know, I'm like everyone else, you know, I'm in the house. There are moments when I sit back and go, oh, my God, I just can't believe this is going on. You know, what a world we live in. You know, hum. And then I have to, you know, look in the mirror again and say, you know what, but you're here. You know, God is sparing you for a reason. So you've got to make this count, you know. And so, I mean, that's the way I deal with it. You know, everybody goes through their own little pieces of depression or feeling lonely. And you know, the one thing that I have realized in this pandemic is that I have everything I need. God has given me everything I need, you know, and it's how I put it to use. You know, you realize that when the stores and everything was shut down, you realize I really didn't need that. I didn't need that. I have stuff here. You know,
and you know what's crazy is too, and like I see it from that perspective as well, because it's like during all this stuff that's going on in the outside of the world, outside of your home, you take a different look and you just kind of look around. And it's like, wow, like all this stuff I took for granted, and then when this happened, it makes you realize family and the things that you already have, that you, all the materialistic things you know you don't need, and the most important thing is family. It makes you appreciate family through this, these pandemics, and having to be close quarters with your family. You're like, dang, I really miss this person, you know. So it's just
absolutely
a whole new appreciation on life.
So we miss the human touch, you know, the hug, you know, and that's what I miss. You know, I miss my church family. I miss, you know, the human, just the hugs and the smiles and stuff. But you know, God does everything, you know, in his timing. And you know, I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for the people that I love still being alive. I'm thankful for, you know, myself, you know, my husband, you know, my grandkids, you know, still being alive, and my kids. And like I said, it makes you realize that God has given you everything that you need. Everything that you need. We just move so fast that we don't, as my mother used to say, stop and smell the roses while you're alive. Because once you're gone, you can't smell them. You know what I'm saying? So we don't take the time out to look at the trees and see how they sway and the melodic beats that they have. And we don't take the time to look at the flowers and understand how the flowers grow and you know, start growing your own stuff. We don't take time out because we're always on the go. I guess this was, you know, this was a way of doing a reset, you know?
A total reset, a slowdown, you know?
Yeah, slowdown.
It's one of those things you have to look at it from like you said, I have to do the same thing when I'm watching these videos, constantly watching these police brutality videos and the Karens and the Kevin videos and everything like that. And it does get personal. And you do have to take the time to step back from all of it, because you do get affected by it emotionally, because you're connected through whatever's going on, because you see the person and you can imagine yourself in that person's shoes. So you do take it personal. You do have to step back and just kind of reset and say, hey, I got to take some time out to recenter.
Absolutely. You know, my bishop says you have to schedule a prayer time, and you have to schedule, you know, when you want to pray and how you want to pray. You know what I'm saying? And I believe that. I'm a firm believer of that, because he's been on every single day with us and holding us down, you know, just to make sure that we're okay. And, you know, each one has to teach one, and we all have to love on one another. I think for the most part that I would like to say that we have become more friendlier to each other.
Right.
You know, people. Mm. We have become more friendlier. We have become more genuine. And some of us have, you know, who have had cold as ice hearts have been broken down, you know, to see that, you know, how precious life is.
Yeah, that's correct. And I was listening to the song Shine On Me today. I discovered it last night. And I had to play it because I don't think a lot of people know that you have that soulful quality to your voice, because, you know, a lot of times when you listen to house and dance music, sometimes it's hard to catch, you know, the real raw talent of someone because it's driven by the beats and everything like that. So when I found Shine On Me, and I was just like, wow, just blown away at your voice. That's amazing. So did that come from the church, or like where did that voice develop at?
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people who don't know me, there's a lot that do know me, and they know my past, but for people that, you know, I'm just running across and new people that I'm meeting, I'm a church girl. I've been a church girl since I was 5 years old. Shine On Me, there's a backstory to that, and it's just a really powerful backstory. I was going through a lot of things with the record label, and I didn't know how to express myself because it was dealing with a record label, and I didn't want to sell my soul for a hit song, and I didn't want to sell my soul to ensure that my life, you know, would be guaranteed, you know, to be a star. And so, because I've been a church girl all my life, and I had, there were things that I just wasn't willing to do. And I decided to write, that was actually my letter to God. Shine On Me was my letter to God.
Wow.
You know, and as it says, needed a friendly chat.
So that's why you were singing with so much conviction.
Yeah. Had nowhere to turn, but I knew your strength would pull me through. You know, that was my letter to God. That was my very, I can actually say that was my very first song that I wrote, that I just had nowhere to go. I had nowhere to turn. I had no one to talk to. I didn't feel like anyone would understand how I was feeling as an artist and what I was, you know, what I was facing. And, you know, I have always been a thick, lovely lady, and I, you know, was told that I had to lose weight, and I had to be paper thin, and I had to, it was a lot of obstacles that I had to go through, and I wasn't willing to sell myself out for anybody or anything, you know. That this song came at a time where I had passed the state troopers test, I had passed the corrections test in New York, in Hempstead. I was working, I was an executive secretary for the mayor in Hempstead at the time, and I didn't know which way. I was working for the mayor during the day and going to correction training in the evening, and I didn't know which way I was going to go.
Wait, hold on real quick. Wait a minute. Wait, you're telling me, I'm sorry to cut you off, you're telling me that after the success of your first, when you first came on the scene and just bust wide open, you mean to tell me like a couple years later you were working for the mayor and doing corrections and all this stuff?
No. This was before. Before. But what I'm saying is that before all of this happened, this is what I was doing. I was leading a normal life. And so I decided that I was going to take a leap of faith. Because everything is based on faith. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what the outcome is going to be. So when I did that, and then when, you know, I was going through the obstacles with the label and them not knowing where to place me and how to place me, because you want to put me in this little box called dance, but I'm so much more than that. I went through a lot, and I just didn't know who to talk to, you know. And so I sat down one night and I wrote this song, because, and I felt so relieved because I felt like God knew what I was doing. God knew what I was saying, and I knew that He would help me, you know. And I met up with a sweetheart of mine by the name of Michael O'Hara. I had a melody, and together we put the song together melodically, and we went into the studio and recorded it. But that song, that backstory is a powerful thing, because you got to know the whole situation to be able to sit down and listen to that song, so that you know that there's hope. There's always hope, you know?
It literally caught me last night when I heard it. I said, I was going through your catalog, and I'm looking, I seen the song Shine On Me. I'm like, I'm not familiar with this song. So as soon as I hit play, I was just blown away. I was just like, I did not know. Like, not, I mean, and then on top of the lyrics and everything, but vocally, I did not know your voice was that, you know, just amazing. It's just a powerful, soulful voice. And now I understand what you mean. Like, they wanted to just put you in the box of dance music. When hearing this, I know that your voice could have been put anywhere. You know, like, you could have been singing any type of genre of music that you know,
before
you wanted to.
Before Robin S. was born, Robin sang with bands. I've been singing with the band since I was 15. And I was singing, you know, I wasn't singing dance music, or as they call house music. The closest I came to that was Don't Stop Till You Get Enough and Last Dance, you know, Michael Jackson and Donna Summer. Those were the only two that I sang. Anything else was Phyllis Hyman, Anita Baker, Layla Hathaway.
Wow. And I could hear the tone.
Mm-hmm.
I could place your tone right in that category now that you said that. That's crazy. But now I want to hear you saying Last Dance now after you said that, because I could hear your voice doing that too.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, those are the closest songs. I mean, well, you know, I'm showing my age, but years ago in New York, they had a club called the Starship. And, you know, we used to play there a lot in Manhattan. And, you know, that was more like a Studio 54, but for the younger people. And so we used to do, those are the only two dance songs that I ever did. And when I was called and asked to do a demo of Show Me Love, when I heard it, I was like, this is not me. I can't do this. I can't sing this fast. I can't do this. And they were like, well, just take it home and just try it and just see if you like it. I said, I told you I don't like this song. This is not me, because I wasn't doing that type of music. So I took it home and I listened to it, and I was like, you know, had the old pook face. I'm not doing this. No, that's all right. They can get somebody else. I don't like this song. I don't like it. And, you know, I went back to the studio and told them. They said, okay, let's just do a demo tape of it. Excuse me. And we did the demo tape, and he said, okay, I know you can do it better. He said, because you're reading the words, and I know you can do it better. He said, just do me a favor and just try it. Learn the words and just try it. He said, but just give it a chance. And I said, okay. So what I did is I took every line apart, every word apart, and tried to figure out where it fit in my life. How can I involve my life in this song? How can I weave it into my life? And when I came back, it's funny, because when I came back, I had the flu when it was time to record it. So what you hear, what everyone's been hearing for over 25 years, was me singing with the flu.
Wow.
Wow. People don't even know.
That's insane. That's crazy. So tell us about how did you come about when it was time to do Show Me Love, and it was time, like, when that whole thing came, did the success come immediately, or was it gradually?
Oh, no, it was gradually. We had done the song a year prior, and it was taken to the label, and, of course, the label didn't like it. Oh, she can't sing. She's not a singer. She, you know, we don't like this song. You know, this was the urban department, excuse me. No, we don't like this song. She's not a singer. She's not a true singer. Okay. So they took it overseas, and Champion Records were actually Stonebridge and Champion Records, you know, were together at that time. And he gave Stonebridge the song and said, we'll see what you could do with it, because it was actually shelved.
Wow.
It was actually. And so Stonebridge came up with the melodic part of it. And that was it.
And then it took off overseas. And then America caught on after.
The craziest thing. I'm thankful for the DJs that brought it back. But it took off. When I tell you, it took off overseas almost immediately after it was re-released. Okay, because it was originally released as Robin Stone. And then I was like, people used to call me Miss Stone. I was like, I can't get used to that. That's not my name. You know, that's just not it. So we just used Robin S, and that's how we gave birth to that. But it was re-released with Stonebridge's beats to it and his version of it, and it just took off. It actually took off overseas. And then about about maybe a year and a half after, I got a phone call saying, there's this show called Top of the Pops. If you go number one, you get to go to Paris and you go to Top of the Pops. And I wasn't so enthused because it's been a year. And I'm like, okay, well, no problem. I still sing with the band. I'm good. So I got a call and said, hey, Rob, the song hit Top of the Pops at number 20. Yeah, okay, fine. Call me when it's number 10. And I hung up. No regard to the song. Very detached from it. And then the next week, I got another call. Hey, Rob, the song is number 5. Okay, yeah, fine. Yeah, call me when it's 1. You know when it's 1, you better get ready. You better get ready because you're going to have to go to Paris. I'm not going to Paris. I'm not flying on no airplane to go to Paris. The following week, I got that call. You have to pack because they want you at Top of the Pops in Paris. And that totally blew my mind because, number one, I was in Paris. Who's going to Paris? I'm not going to Paris. You know, it was. I had never been overseas before. So me going to Paris, no, I'm not going to Paris. You have to go. You have to go support this record. Okay, fine. And that was the beginning of it all. That was the beginning of it all. That was when the true Robin S. Was born, basically.
Right. Wow. And being with this, like, being kind of like ushered into this dance music arena, house music, did you ever feel a need to want to do those type of records that, you know, like the Layla Hathaways and the Sunshine Anderson type songs that you can, like, display your true vocal talent?
Absolutely.
So people can literally hear, you know, the truth in your voice, like, instead of just the...
I have another song on the second album, and the answer to your question is yes, absolutely. It's called We're In This Together. That's a ballad, and it is a gospel ballad. I did the remake of Phyllis Hyman's You Know How to Love Me, and the remake of Stevie Wonder's All I Do. So, yeah,
wait,
of course.
You redid a Phyllis Hyman song?
Mm-hmm. You Know How to Love Me.
Wow. I got to look for this. Because some of these names that you're mentioning, like Phyllis Hyman, Layla Hathaway, and you have that same vocal tone, and now I really have to check this out. Because I can hear you singing that. And now that, like... I know there's been, like, a constant resurgence of Show Me Love, like, constantly throughout the years, people remixing and sampling it over and over. Now we're in the independent artist age. So are you releasing music that you want to release in your own style of music?
Absolutely. I am. I'm not signed to any label, so I have that freedom to, and I have. I've been flying under the radar for a minute. If you go on iTunes and pull my name up, there are several songs that I released on my own because I just had, they were in my system. They were deep down in my soul, and I had to get them out.
Yeah.
The most recent one was done with a guy named Preston Glass, and it's called The Way You Are. And it's a ballad, and it's so now. With everything that we're going through, it's so now. How people want you to conform, and people want you to change because they want the change. And, you know, my message to these the young kids is stay the way you are. Stay the way you are. God made us totally different for a reason. You don't have to conform to anyone's platform in order to be noticed or in order to be popular. Stay the way you are. So, you know, that's the latest one that's out.
Yeah. Jay, did you have a question for Robin?
Yes. I was just curious. Tell me about just a little bit about what was it like, because you had mentioned you had never been overseas before and you had no idea that it was that Show Me Love was going to become that huge of a song over there in Europe. So what is it like being over there at that time for you?
A bit scary. You know, I live on the corner of truth and transparency, so I'm going to tell you just like it is. It was a bit scary. I didn't know what to expect, whereas in the States, excuse me, I didn't need security at the time because it had not reached over here, you know, quite yet. But over there, you would have thought that I was part of the Beatles or Jackson 5 it was very strenuous and very scary because people were tugging and pulling and you were like, okay, wait a minute, hold on, what's going on here? You're not used to it.
Right.
You just don't know. And I was a grown woman with kids and I'm like, wait a minute, hold on, wait a minute, I need to regroup here, I need to breathe here. It was a lot of people. Excuse me, it was a lot of people, and we're talking Hippodrome. There's a club called the Hippodrome in London that housed well over 10,000 people. So I was
wow.
Speaking to audiences of 10,000 plus over there, and I'd come back home and be plain Jane. You know, nobody would notice, you know, nobody would notice me, and, you know, hey, I was like, okay, that's cool. I can still move, you know. But then when the song came over to the States, still didn't think it was real until one day I had my balcony open and I was laying down. It was at, you know, about 12 at night, and I could hear the song coming. You know, at night there's no cars going down the street, but I could hear the song coming down the street. I could hear it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's me. Oh my goodness. I mean, it was blasting.
Charlie Rock.
Right, and then one day I was driving on the highway, and I flipped to one radio station, they started playing it. I flipped to another radio station, they were playing it. I flipped to two other radio stations, and they were playing it simultaneously. And that's when I had to pull the car over and just take a deep breath and go, okay, this is really happening. I'm home.
Wow.
This is really happening, you know. You know, singing before 10,000 or more people overseas, and, you know, they don't see me every day. They don't know me every day. They don't know me like that, okay? I came home to perform at the Apollo, and I was so nervous. I was so scared, so nervous, because I'm like, these people, they're going
to
see me.
I have to admit that I actually saw that performance when it aired. I remember that.
I was so nervous. I was like, oh, my God, don't mess up. Just don't mess up.
You know, I was wondering, like, to spin off what Jay just said, Do you prefer, before all the, you know, everything just kind of blew up and it came over here to America, did you prefer like to have it where you can go overseas and be this big star and then come home and still have your privacy and your normalcy? I'm pretty sure it changed once it became a big hit in America. Everybody's like trying to, you know, take pictures, have you,
well,
you know, do interviews and everything.
I'm gonna make you laugh. Bunny really recognizes me without a bunch of makeup.
Wow.
So even now, only a few know, but I can be in the midst of a group of people and most won't know who I am. So I'm okay.
So you can still have your normal seat.
Mm-hmm. I can.
So did that affect, you say you had your kids already, so and everything. So did that affect your home life? Like, did your kids be like, oh, my God, my mom's, you know. Like, how was that, you know, for the
you know,
it's like the family. How was that?
You have to understand. My daughters had heard this song from the beginning, the total beginning, like years before it really did something. And we used to go, once it came out, you know, of course, they're playing it all over the place. I remember taking them to the amusement park, and we got on a ride, and what song came on? They were like, oh, we can't go anywhere. You know, they were just so sick of the song. They were done. They were like, okay, I'm so tired of this, Mom. I know that it's your song, but we've heard this from the beginning when it didn't sound like this, and we heard all the edits, and we're just tired of it, you know. And I can understand that. But, you know, I had to break it down to them and say, you see what you're able to do? You see the things in the places we're able to go? I said, this is why. So they understood
right.
that also.
Yeah, and
so
then,
they never told anybody. Even, you know, like I always told them, you don't tell people who I am. Because anyone that wants to be friends with you, be friends with you, I don't need them to know who I am, because I need them to be friends with you because they like you, not me.
Right.
So they, growing up, they were never to tell anyone who I was.
So, what was I going to say? Oh, so the musical gene, is that passed down to your kids or your grandkids? Did anybody want to get into music?
Actually, yeah, I have, daughters that sing. I have a granddaughter that dances, and I have a grandson who is self-taught on the piano.
Wow. And you say your daughter that sings, does she have music out that we can find it anywhere or?
No, because, you know, because they've watched me, like one daughter writes a lot. And she's been writing with another artist, but they've watched me go through my hills and my valleys, more valleys in the beginning than the hills,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they saw my pain. And so I think them witnessing my pain in the beginning kind of turned them to like, no, that's not what I want for myself.
Right.
You know, and I never forced it. You know, that's not something, because that was my dream from 5 years old, not theirs. So I don't feel like I need to relive my life or my dreams through my children.
Yeah. And what was it like to get that phone call for all the dance queens to come together and do Black Girls Rock? You guys rocked it. That was an amazing performance from all three of you ladies.
Thank you.
What was that
Thank
phone
you.
Call like?
It was amazing. It was amazing. You know how long I have sat and watched since the beginning of Black Girls Rock, and always said, same thing with the Monique show, have always said, God, I just want to get on this show. If I get on this show, this will be great. I just want to get on this show. And when the call finally came, I just sat down and said, you know what, God, you work wonders all the time. Just never ceases to amaze me. Thank you. You know, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
You guys
amazing.
Killed it. I mean, it was like they still got it. Because, I mean, the whole, you know, the way it was all set up for you guys coming out and everything through the audience and all that, and I'm just like, this is amazing. What it made me look at, I'm just like, man, they need to get together and do a tour. Like, literally do a tour, because there's still people that want to see you guys, and you guys still got it, and you still rock it. And it was just, the energy in the room was just on 10. And I just hope, like, after this COVID thing, is let's get together and do, like, a Dance Queens tour or something, because that would be amazing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have to say that, you know, my peers and myself, we still know how to entertain. We still know how to deliver. We're asked to deliver. That's exactly what we do. No shorts.
And vocally, everybody was on point.
Yeah, and it's like I said when I came out, you got to get up. This is how I do it. I don't care about anybody else. This is how I do it. You got to get up.
That was nice. And, you know, we need shows like that. Like, I was sad to see the Monique show leave, because it really kept our legends at the forefront. She made a platform for us to continuously have our legends in our face, so we cannot forget who paved the way, this timeless music that continues to be sampled and remixed and everything. Chris Brown's, you know, like, he loves to go back and sample songs from the 90s and beyond and stuff like that. And it's like, we need shows like the Monique Show to continuously keep our legends.
Well, you know,
people understanding,
in my head, I'm sorry to cut you off. In my head,
oh, no,
Brown is like my son. You know, I don't know him personally, but
yeah.
In my head is. And I would have loved to have gotten on, you know, his Show Me record, you know, because that's my song, you know.
Right.
And that's
right.
The beat, the song. But when you, you know, I don't have any remorse or any malice toward any one of them, Jason Derulo, Chris Brown, anyone else that uses, and I hear Show Me Love in just about everybody's songs. I hear little bits and pieces in just about everybody's songs. But here's the deal. I have to thank them because they keep me relevant, you know,
right.
No matter what. They keep me relevant.
I just need them to acknowledge the legends that they're sampling from.
That would be nice.
You know what I'm saying?
That
that's all I'm saying.
Nice.
Like, that, like, we can't, because there's a generation that's coming up and thinking, this is fresh, this is new. No, this is from the day, this is like when music was popping in the 90s. This was sampled from someone that paved the way for him. Like, they need to acknowledge our legends and say, hey, I sampled this from Robin S. I hope y'all guys like it, da-da-da, whatever. You know, like with Shanice, he sampled one of her songs and then shout her out. He did reach out to her and talk to her and call her, and, you know, and she did receive, like, an ASCAP award or something like that. But that was after the fact. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, let us know that you're working with our legends or using their music or something.
Thank you for saying that, because I've been saying that for a while. It's not a matter of us being upset, because, you know, like I said, the long term of it is that you keep us relevant, you know, because there's
right.
always going to be something that says, oh, you think that's good? Let me let you hear the original, you know? So
right.
it keeps us relevant,
right.
you know, in the same, but giving us our props, I mean, it would be nice. It would be nice.
And I'm sorry, but it does. It does. Once you, like a lot of songs that do get the recognition from the artist that is sampling the music, and they're like a Beyonce or a Chris Brown, he's a mega artist now, and it does make you go back and look up the song on YouTube or, you know, like iTunes, and look it up and look at the original. It's like, wow, this is, you know, so it does help the original artist out too, because now their sales
mm-hmm.
spike up, you know,
mm-hmm.
just
that
by the acknowledgement.
That it does. I bet I have a fun fact for you that you, I'm not sure if you realize or you know. There was a song on Dr. Dolittle, the first one, that I sang.
Wow.
And it was titled Dance, and it was done with Mary.
So last night I seen the video on. It was like, was it a video with this?
No, there was never a video with that.
Okay, so on YouTube, there's a picture of you and Mary side by side on somebody.
Right.
I guess somebody uploaded it. Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
I thought it was a video, but that was a song
mm-hmm.
you guys did.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And then there, that was the Dr. Dolittle. And then there was the BAPS movie.
With Holly Berry.
Two songs that I wrote on there, and I sang the song at the end where, you know, they get their money, they open up the barbershop and the hairdressing place. Well, that's me singing, and that's
wow.
a song that I co-wrote. And then in the movie, there was a part where they went to the record store. That's me singing, and that's a song that I wrote. So, you know, there's a lot of things and songs that people don't know that it's me singing.
Right.
There's another movie, I believe it's called Knockout, was the first woman boxer, Latino woman boxer, and
mm-hmm.
there was a song called Once in a Lifetime Love. That song made it on Welcome to Whoop Whoop, Once in a Lifetime Love. So I've had some, and then, of course, let's not forget Space Jam. There's
mm-hmm.
a song that I wrote on there as well. So, you know, I've been doing, and oh, yes, wait a minute, hold on. Let's not forget Mouse House for the kids. I did a song called Colors of the Wind for the children. So, yeah, I've been under the radar and still keeping busy, you know.
That's good.
There was a time when I asked God, you know, well, why didn't that last? Why didn't all that last for me? Why didn't, you know, the fame and all of the glitz and all of that last? And he reminded me, when this first happened, you didn't ask for that. You asked for longevity. So
right.
that's what I got, longevity. So, you know, it's all good. Everything kind of evens itself out.
So now that, you know, you're doing your independent thing, your independent music and everything, what can we expect from you now? Like, what can we look for to, you know, keep up with you and your music and stuff that you're releasing? I'm definitely going back and look up all these songs that you told me, especially the Phyllis Hyman and the Stevie Wonder remakes. I definitely got to check those out. But what else, what can we expect and look forward to from you right now?
A little bit of everything. You know, I'm at the point now where I'm not going to be kept in a box. I will never, ever, let me just say this for any of my dance audience, that house or dance audience that's listening, I will never, ever, ever turn my back on them and how much they've supported me when no one else, when I say no one else, when no one else did. But there's so much more to me, and it's so unfair when you're a dance artist that you don't get to grow. You know, everyone
right.
who's an R&B artist, they get to grow. Everyone who's a gospel artist, they get to grow. But when you're a dance artist, they want to put you in that box, close that box up, keep it closed until they're ready to open it up again, and bam, that's the only thing they want to hear. But this go round, you know, I'm not going to be kept in a box, and I'm going to do the stuff that I love to do as well. I'm going to do dance.
And can you like, when anytime you have any music or anything, could you let us know so we can definitely push your music and promote it and have you back on anytime you got a song coming
Absolutely.
Out? You know, even if you're just releasing a song for iTunes and you want to come on and hang with us and share the music,
Absolutely.
We would love to have you back. It's been an amazing conversation with you, learning all these different things that we didn't know. Like, it's like education 101 for music. So we definitely, like, would love to have you come back again.
I would love to come back. Thank you for having me. Just listen to The Way You Are. That's the newest one on
mm-hmm.
iTunes. And that's,
okay.
you know, that right now is so now for this generation coming up, so now. And that basically was my message to them. You know, just stay the way you are.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely checking it out. And I want to know if you do requests, because after you said Philly Time, and I'm like, can you remake Living All Alone or Living in Confusion?
Somebody asked me to remake those songs. Yeah.
Because their voice is like, I can hear it now. This is like, now I want to hear it for real.
Yeah. Actually, you know, on, I want to say on YouTube, because YouTube has everything. If you pull up my name and You Know How to Love Me, there are live, you know, me singing it live in a club or on the outside, where you can hear it.
Yeah, I'm definitely.
But yeah, I've been asked to remake a couple of Phyllis Hyman's tunes, so you know that's always a consideration.
Yeah. And you know you're definitely right about the whole dance music, how they keep the voices in that dance arena, that you just stay there. Because I remember when CeCe Peniston tried to do the R&B album, and it was a great album, but they didn't want to hear that from her. And I thought that was so unfair, because it was really quality music on there, and they just wouldn't give her a chance because they wanted to keep her in that dance music box, and that's it. And you guys' voices are so, you know, universal. You can, like, you are, these are powerhouse singers that sing that type of music. And to just put you guys in one box is so totally unfair.
Well, you know, I have nothing against any of my peers who sing gospel and or R&B. It's just that in order to be a dance artist, I'm gonna mention another powerful lady, whose voice to me is just two actually, Dawn Tallman and Barbara Tucker.
Mm.
Those two ladies, if you ever pull them up and listen to them sing, oh my goodness gracious! And you have to understand, to be a dance artist, it's power from the beginning of the song to the end of the song. R&B artists plateaus toward the end, that's where we start.
Right.
That's where we start.
Right.
And then it goes higher. And it takes nothing away from an R&B artist, because I listen to the likes of India Irie and the names are escaping me right now, but those names, Layla Hathaway, I listen to all of them. I love them. But where an R&B artist, you know, breaks it down and when the bridge comes and they plateau, that's where we start. We start
right.
our songs off way up there, and we have to stay up there for the entire song. So it takes a lot of power. It takes a lot of power to be a dance artist.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely, they can definitely tell it takes powerhouse, like Martha Wise and all these other people that come out, and it's just, you got to stay up there. Literally got to stay up there.
She started it for us. She just, you know, she's a trailblazer, and she opened a lot of doors for us. Yes, she did.
Yeah. So we're coming to an end here, son. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said I'm very appreciative.
Yeah, yeah. What she's done is like, isn't it like she created a whole new genre of music, right? When the Weather Girls came out, and then just kind of.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. She kind of sort of between her and Gloria Gaynor, you know, they opened the doors for people to do feel good music. You know, I don't want to take that from anybody, because I stand on those shoulders. You know, just as another dance artist will stand on mine, but you know, I take absolutely nothing from them, and I thank them very much.
Yeah. So we come to an end here, and I want to personally thank you for joining us today. And like I said, we definitely would love to have you back on the show again, because this has been, I wish I had more time, because it's just so comforting talking to you and learning and everything like that. Just, you know, this is what I think a lot of new artists should do. Reach out to the legends, try to get some mentorship, learn something. And but I want to thank you again for coming on the show. You are a legend. We love you. We love what you, your contributions to music, and your continued contributions to music. And this is what our platform is for. It's basically, you know, we try to pick up where Bonique left off, and just kind of like, you know, continuously have our legends have a platform. So,
well, thank you.
Thank you once again.
I really appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, we're gonna close the show out with "Show Me Love," and once again, we had our special guest, Robin S. Thank you again.
Thank you.